Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Charlie Herman. I'm joined today by our regular contributors, Joan Osera with the New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. And often on this program, we talk about the Federal Reserve, its policies, interest rates. But this time, though, I want to focus on the person who holds the world's largest economy in his hands. Except now, for the first time in history, it's her hands. Later this month, Janet Yellen will become the first woman to lead the Federal Reserve. And Rana, you got a chance to sit down with her in sort of an exclusive interview on the day she was confirmed by the Senate. How is the Fed going to change under her leadership?
Well, I don't think that you're going to see any dramatic policy changes. I mean, she was the right-hand person working with Ben Bernanke over the last few years as vice chair. But, you know, in the same way maybe that Pope Francis is kind of bringing a new tone to the Catholic Church, if not changing dogma, I think that Janet Yellen really is bringing a new tone to the Fed. She is a Brooklyn girl. She grew up in Bay Ridge. But one of the very first things that she wanted to talk about, in fact, was her upbringing. Her parents came through the Great Depression. Her father was a family doctor who ran his practice from their home. And so she saw people, laborers from the community, folks that worked in Brooklyn's manufacturing sector at that point, coming in, paying $2 a day to be seen or not to be seen, depending on how things were going. And that gave her a real understanding about the human impact of unemployment, which is her biggest concern. And you can bet she's going to have her eye on that.
But, you know, Ben Bernanke, the current chair, he had studied the Great Depression himself as well and is considered to be a scholar of the Great Depression. So is there a difference between the two in terms of the way they approach issues or just how the Fed may approach some of these larger issues?
It's a great question. I think in some ways what you just said highlights the fact that no Fed chief chooses the era that they're a part of, right? I mean, Greenspan got the dot-com boom and bust. So he gets credit for some of that and he gets blamed for some of that. Did he deserve it? Who knows? Ben Bernanke came in the middle of a financial crisis. He had his hands full, basically, firefighting.
I think Trying to prevent another depression.
And so, sure, he certainly used that thinking and those tools. I think that Janet Yellen comes in at a very interesting moment because we're not fighting a fire, but we are at a point where people are really wondering about what kind of growth is good growth. What kind of an economy do we want?
You know, Ben Bernanke was the right person for his moment. It was precisely because he had studied the Depression, and his fundamental belief was that the Fed and the U.S. government generally had not thrown enough financial firepower to fight the Depression that caused him to pull out all the stops when we came to the financial crisis of 2008. Now we're in an era where we seem to be stuck at 7% unemployment and where the economy is growing but growing too slowly. And a lot of middle-class jobs have disappeared. And it may be that Janet Yellen's sort of humanistic approach, if you want to call that, turns out to be the right person for this moment. How do we get jobs back? How do we revive an economy where people can live well again?
Well, it sounds like what you're raising is a little bit more of a philosophical question even, and one that's interesting when you think about now or thinking and talking a lot about the 50th anniversary of the war on poverty is what is an economy for? Like what is the measure of it? Is it to get Wall Street going and get the economy going, or is it to just really focus on getting jobs at the lower end of the spectrum? What's an economy for?
Well, I think that Janet Yellen and actually Ben Bernanke, to a certain extent, would argue that it's for everyone. It's for inclusive growth. I mean, Yellen is the first openly pro-reform-minded Keynesian to ever head the Fed. So that means that she sort of lives by this this mantra, which was the mantra of her mentor, the great liberal economist James Tobin, who was a Keynesian, that, you know, you can use monetary policy to mitigate the brutality of the markets and to really help bring everybody up. And she still believes, actually, which is interesting, that a rising tide does lift all boats.
But, Joe, there are a lot of people who disagree with that way of having the Federal Reserve get so involved in the economy like that, to have the government so involved in the economy. Is this the direction then that we're going, or is there going to be a lot of pushback?
Well, there certainly is going to be a lot of pushback. I mean, one of the questions that's worth asking is corporate profits the ultimate goal, or is having everybody employed and living a decent life, is that the ultimate goal? And You know, it really does change the way you would operate as a federal government or as a corporation or as a system if it's the latter instead of the former.
But can Janet Yellen change that? Are we perhaps expecting too much from her if you think that we want that?
Well, I think the truth of the matter is that the Fed is really the only institution, arguably, in the country that can act right now to make serious changes in the economy. You know, Washington is gridlocked. The Fed does not have, as she told me, a magic wand, but she does believe very strongly that they have a responsibility to keep this recovery going. I think that she is the type of person that will worry more about the pain of unemployment than she will about potential market bubbles that may lie in the future. Right now, her first priority is making sure that the recovery keeps going.
Well, you know, a lot of these changes we're talking about are very long-term down the road. What are you guys paying attention to in the weeks ahead, Joe?
Well, I just got back from Brazil, so of course I'm looking at Brazil. And speaking of a place that has asked the fundamental question about what is an economy for, you know, here's a country that has, although the growth has slowed tremendously, it still has unemployment around 4.5%. And it's one of the very few places where income inequality has lessened instead of broadened over the past decade during the Brazil miracle. So what I'm watching to see is, now that the growth has slowed, will Brazil be able to continue along these lines of lowering income inequality and keeping basically full employment?
Rhonda, what are you watching?
Well, we're going to be a very big picture, high-minded show today because I'm thinking about Europe.
All of it.
Exactly, all of it. And, you know, Janet Yellen believes that this is going to be sort of a turning point year for the U.S. economy and that things are really looking up. The question is, what's happening in Europe? There's a lot of folks, policymakers there, that are also saying the Eurozone debt crisis is done, Europe is back. I don't actually believe that. I think that, yeah, you know, borrowing costs are going down and the sort of short-term problems have gone away. But unemployment in Europe is still above 12%. You have amazing numbers like 60% unemployment amongst young people in Greece. I mean, really sort of socially devastating numbers. And you also have deflation. And the thing about that is when inflation is going down, it makes it harder to pay down debt. And since this is a debt crisis, that's something that could really flare up, maybe not in the next few months, but certainly within the year.
Well, we'll be watching the stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can, of course, take this program with you as a podcast, available on iTunes. Rhonda Fruhar with Time Magazine, Jonah Serra with The New York Times, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.